I'd like you to turn there with me so you can see that what I say is there and you don't take my word for it, because I'm still in human form right now and my tongue is in a slippery place right in my mouth, and it can slip out words sometimes that's not exactly right. And if everyone's paying attention, someone will catch me if I'm wrong, and then we can correct it and make it right. And that's okay with me, because I want to do it right. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it's common among men. A man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wants nothing for his soul, of all that he desires, yet God gives him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eats it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he comes in with vanity and departs in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he has not seen the sun nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Excuse me. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet has he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what has the wise more than the fool? What has the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This also is also vanity and a vexation of spirit. That which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knows what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spends as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Father, we pray this morning that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Father, give us grace for the lack of understanding we have in our minds. And may truly the Spirit of God open our thought processes this morning. May we be teachable, and may we hear what your Spirit is saying. Father, we love you. We bless you this morning. We thank you for your presence in our life, not in just a meeting this morning, Father, but a presence in our life daily as we walk through this life. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you for all things. Amen. Okay. There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is what? The word common here is literally the word abundant. Okay? It's the word abundant. Not among, but to or in Adam. It's abundant in Adam. So this evil that he's talking about is something that is abundant or common to humanity. Would you agree with that? He's seeing something that is very common to humanity. A man to whom God gives riches, wealth, and honor, or literally glory, so that he lacks nothing for his soul, of all that he desires, yet God gives him or permits him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger or a strange man eats it. This is vanity, and it's an evil disease. Or the word disease could be calamity, anxiety, or a malady. He said, all these things I see, and they're common in humanity, but he said they're evil and are vanity. And what is the word vanity again? It's something transitory, it's something unfulfilling and unsatisfying. So all the things of this life that it has to offer us are still only transitory at best. They're temporary. Nothing that will fulfill us and give us the life that we truly desire. Okay? And you'll see in the rest of this passage as we go that a man labored for what? All of man's labor goes for what? His mouth. But what does it say about the rest of it? I'll get to it in a minute. The word literally isn't, let me see what it is here again. Yet his appetite is not filled. The word appetite is not appetite, it's his soul. See, all we're doing is laboring that our mouth be filled, and we're not really worrying about satisfying the desires of the soul. which is the spirit with really within us. That's what we're talking about. The spirit of man inside of here is not being fed by all the labors of our earthly walk, is it? See, what I labor and put in my mouth does not feed my spirit man. Does it feed yours? See? It's what I know about God. The revelation of God in my life is what feeds me and makes me grow. It has nothing to do with the food that I stick in my mouth. Okay? In verse 3, honey, you got the Living Bible there? I want to read that in verse 3. Let me see it. I'm going to read you the Living Bible out of verse 3. Even if a man has 100 sons and many daughters and lives to be very old, but leaves so little money at his death that his children can't even give him a decent burial, I say that it would be better off if he were born dead. It's telling you the truth. He's saying here, so see, all this labor we're going in is not for us just to waste, is it? The book says that we should lay up for our children's children. Not just our children, but our children's children. Who is that? It's our grandchildren. We should have something for our grandchildren prepared. Because God has blessed us abundantly. I mean, even the poorest person has more than most people in the world in this country. There's something. But see, this country has not taught us anything. This country does not teach us discipline and stewardship. Just blow it and get another check next month. Yeah. See. There's a little bit of truth in that theory. Don't live for tomorrow, but they're not living for this evening. I mean, they're just living for the absolute present right now. If I got it now, it's okay. And if I haven't got it, no, I don't know what I'll do. See, there's no preparation. We do have to do some things. We do have to be good stewards of what God has given us, don't we? Yeah. Who was telling me that? Oh. No. Oh, well, I think it was Mark out in Arkansas. He said he was just sitting down. He was just sitting out watching the ants walk around. And I said, well, that's scriptural. Oh, is it you? Hey, it was you. Okay. It was Bob was talking to me. He was kind of down and depressed at the time when we got to talk. He said he was outside just watching the ants. I said, well, that's scriptural. The book says, consider the ant. See? They labor, but they're doing something, aren't they? They're accomplishing all the time. So I won't get into that very far, but that's just a scriptural thing. But back to verse 3 again. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of the years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he hath no burial, I say that an untimely birth, or literally a miscarriage or an abortion, is better off than he. He's saying it's better than living a long life and not accomplishing what God has set forth for us to do. What good is it? See, I haven't accomplished what God brought me to. I've not satisfied this soul that he has placed within me. There's a purpose for everybody here. And that's where most of the talent that God has placed in this earth has ended up in a cemetery, because no one knows what they're doing. They don't seek out what God wants them to do. They just want to exist. Existing's not good enough. I know as a child I had things in me that I couldn't understand. I understand more now. But God took me the course. It was hard. I mean, it's hard. We was talking about my grandson a while ago. He don't understand all this stuff God's doing right now. It's hard on him. But if God didn't have a call and a purpose for his life, he couldn't be going through it. But he does know one thing. Out of all the family, he has a grandfather and a grandmother that love him unconditionally, and they love him enough to correct him, and will always be the rock there. When everyone else is in turmoil, and everyone else is in emotions, and all wound up, and biting, and snarling, and fighting, Papa and Mamaw is going to stand there for him. We're going to be the example in his life that when he gets older, he's going to desire to have the peace that we have in our lives. Because don't tell me he can't see it. When he comes here, he's calm and peaceful. When he's other places, he's wired. Tell me that our spirit doesn't affect other people. It affects them. We don't get caught up in all the things that the world throws at us. We just walk in peace. See, we're not being that thermometer. We're being that thermostat. We're regulating what they're doing. We're not going to let them take us and run us around. Being around some of the family, I'd rather go to the hell that they talk about in some of these places. I mean, when we go with them, it is nasty. I mean, when you get there, you can just feel the heaviness. You can feel the turmoil and the strife. And it just makes a big knot in my stomach. It just makes me want to vomit, feels like. But you know what? They'll never see anything out of me. I'll never let it take me off my course. Never. It's not going to happen. I can't be a son of God and walk in that and let those things affect me. Jesus walked through every bit of that, didn't he? And guess what? He never once lashed out at them. He never once lashed out at them. Verse 4, he says, "For or because he comes in with what?" He comes in vanity. The word "with" shouldn't even be there. He comes in vanity. That's he's transitory, he's unsatisfied, he's empty. That's the way we come into this world. We're empty. Didn't Job say we come in naked? Naked we shall return. And we depart in what? Ignorance. We come in empty and we leave in ignorance. That means we're still empty, doesn't it? We still don't have the knowledge of God in our lives. And his name shall be covered with darkness, or literally, in death. When we die, it's all gone. There's nothing here. It doesn't mean anything. It's all vanity. It's all gone, isn't it? And moreover, he has not seen the Son. Moreover, he that has not seen the Son, nor anything, this has more rest than the other. He's saying the man who comes in and lives that 100 years or 1,000 years or 2,000 years and got 100 kids and all this stuff he's heaped up, that one that died as a seed is better off. He's never saw the natural son. He's better off than the one who had to live through all this stuff. Couldn't you all agree with that at times? What you're going through, you wouldn't wish it on anybody? Come on. That's what he's trying to tell us. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, and he has not seen, and he has seen no good, do not all go to one place? Hello. Where do all of them go? Same place. See? In chapter 12, verse 3 of this book, Ecclesiastes 12:7 rather, it says that the dust returns to the earth from where it came. The spirit returns to God who gave it. Okay? So where's everybody going? Good or bad, they're going back to God. The flesh goes to the dust and the spirit returns to God. All the labor of Adam is for his mouth. The natural man. It's all for his mouth. I mean, what do you labor for? You're hungry. Right? And yet his soul is not filled, or his spirit is not taken care of. Do you know how many people in the church today are running around and their spirit, if you could see them, would just be a rack of bones? They have no spiritual depth. I've said it this way, they're a half inch deep and 3 miles wide. That means they're very shallow. They don't have any depth in what they're saying. They're repeating, they're regurgitating what someone has told them to say. I would rather be in the first grade, at least know what I know in the first grade, than go through college and have nothing but what someone else said. The whole purpose of teaching today is for you to learn how to think, not to memorize all this volumes of information and regurgitate it upon command. Does that do you any good? I need to know how to think. And today, most of the world, including the church, or per se church, does not know how to think. They don't know how to think like God. If they had the mind of Christ opened up in them, could they do it? Sure they could, but they don't have the mind of Christ. People have to learn how to think. And if I don't know how God thinks, how could I compare it with my thinking process? That's why everybody thinks that everything they hear in their mind is God. But there's a lot of people think that, isn't there? They think it's God just because they hear a voice in their head. There's the deception. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. We have to learn the difference between what my mind is speaking and what God is saying. Because God will never contradict this book. He never will. I hear people tell me all kinds of horrendous things that God tells them. And you know what? It's not true. God's book tells me different. Who do I believe? this book and the spirit that witnesses within me that it's correct, or do I believe what everybody else says? I got to stay with God. Why do you think we have 22,000 plus denominations in the world? Because everybody's listening to what they say instead of what he says. And I think he said it's finished, didn't he? And he's already said all he's going to say about it. It's finished. I mean, he's going to repeat what he said, but he's not going to add anything new to it. It's the same word. If it was changing, then he wouldn't be God, would he? Doesn't he say, I change not? Huh? There's no changing in him. You got to believe him. Verse 8, because what has the wise more than the fool? What has the poor that knows to walk before the living? What has the wise person got more than the fool, except that he knows to walk before God? A wise person, huh? What has the poor that knows to walk before the living? What does the poor man have that knows to walk before the living God? Tell me. What does he have? He has God. He knows God. The one who's poor and doesn't care about that but has a relationship with God, what has he got? He's got everything. He's got it all. We don't have to worry about anything. It's not about your meat and the drink, is it? The kingdom of God's not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. See, there's where everything is. This is all temporal. And we put so much emphasis upon the natural things that we see and not the internal things that are important. See? Because that natural man, society has pressured and pressured and pressured us. This peer pressure, you got to do, you got to have, you got to accumulate, you got to make all this stuff. Why? Who said so? Just like in weddings. I had a daughter that got mad at me because I didn't give her a lot of money for her wedding. I would have been tickled to give her money, if I had it, for a down payment on a house or an automobile. But I couldn't see giving thousands of dollars to some organization that says they want to do something. But you've got to do this to be married. I had a brother just married, had his daughter married in Michigan here last year, wasn't it? And last July, I think it was, June or July, he spent $20,000 to $30,000 on a wedding. Why? Who's going to guarantee they're married today? What would that money have been if it had been invested in their future, in a home? I mean, that's foolishness. They had a book that told them how they had to get married. I mean, it's one of those etiquette things, you know. You got to have certain types of this to match this, or it wouldn't be proper to bring people. Only these people should come to this meeting, and then you have all kinds of meetings. And I mean, it's ridiculous. Why? It's all about money. That's all they're doing is making money. Has nothing to do with getting married. Take them to a justice of peace and marry them. Forget about it. Give them the money and let them have the money to buy a home and furniture. How many young couples have been destroyed for lack of finances? They blow all their money on a wedding, and then they go live in an apartment they can't buy food. Stupid. Because society has pressed them into that. Church is no different. We got to do a certain thing. We got to wear a three-piece suit to come to church. It's foolishness. Verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the what? Soul. Than the wandering of the soul. This is also what? Vanity and a vexation, or literally a grasping after the spirit. See? They're just grasping after it, grasping into the air, trying to get a hold of something. And that's what the church has done for years, for 2,000 years. They've just, this didn't work, let's try something else. Well, how about us listening to God? I mean, that sounds so simple, don't it? We need an answer, what should we do? What should we do, Alice, if we need an answer?
Listen to God.
Yeah, isn't that so simple? But what does the church do? Well, we'll have a prayer session. Well, somebody in the prayer session, well, I think we ought to have a fundraiser. We ought to add an extension onto the building. Put a new parking lot in. Let's start a new group. Let's do something. They can't listen to God. Anything and everything will come up, but except the one thing we should be doing, and that's listening to God. Be still and know that I am God. If we'll just be still, guess what we will know? We will know that He is God in the midst of us, in the midst of our tribulations, in the midst of our anguish. Where will He be? He'll be on His throne. If we will be still, we will know that He is God. He'll be right there. Right in the middle of everything, He'll be sitting there in peace. That which has been is named long ago, and it is known what Adam is. It is known what Adam is. That it is man, literally, is what Adam is. Neither can he guard or quarrel or plead equally with him that is mightier than he. What's he saying? You can't argue with God. You know, it says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. English language again. Come, let us reason. Do you think God's going to reason with the mind of humanity? Come on. See, we have lowered God to the level of humanity. Yep, that's what he would say. Yeah. But see, we have in our intellect, in the religious world, we have lowered God down to our level. No, that's not the plan. The purpose is to elevate us to His level. See? He's going to bring us up. What does the Spirit say in the book of Revelation? Come on up. Come on up here. Come on up. Hillbillies, come on up, y'all. Come on up. Yeah. See, we got to find out that God is trying to elevate us out of this earthly death realm into the spirit realm. It's not about Him lowering Himself here. He's already done that. But we have to elevate our mind into the spirit. Okay? We can't contend with Him. There's no contention in God. And see, in our thinking, a lot of times, the church perpetrates that this big bad devil's running around and he's almost got God on the ropes. I mean, that's what they teach. I mean, the devil's just taking the whole world if you listen to him. Huh. My book says he owns everything. What's wrong? Somebody's thinking is not elevated, is it? They still think that he's got an enemy. God has no real enemy. The only enemy God has is our minds, what we think. Do you really think God's concerned about what we think against him? You think God loses any sleep over what we think, what we say, or what we do? We can't offend God. He's beyond humanity. This is humanity. It does not affect God. Verse 11, seeing there be many things, or many words, that word thing should be words, seeing there be many words that increase vanity, or emptiness, or transitory and unsatisfactory, this unempty feeling you have, many words that do this, what is man the better? Or literally, let me read it this way. Seeing there be many words that increase vanity, what is the profit for man? What are all these words profiting us? I mean, my God, go on the internet now, this information highway. What's all these words profiting man? It's consuming them. I'll agree. I'll give you that. Lives are destroyed because of the internet. Internet's a wonderful tool if we use it wisely. Anything in moderation is fine. But, I mean, come on. When we let ourselves be consumed by something, there's people that's sitting and they're vegetating. They're becoming a house plant. They can't even go outside. I know people that almost never get off the computer. They have a job in their own home, and when they get done, they just get in the internet and play till 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, pass out, and try to get back up by 10 o'clock to open their business. They never sleep. This one man's as white as the walls in his building. He's so white, I can't believe it. I don't think he's seen sunlight in maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And all he does is sit and smoke cigarettes and work on computers. When he's not working on them, he's into one plan. His whole life is wound up in that computer. Don't you think that's a waste? Man has a tremendous mind, but it's caught on something that's worthless. It could be great, but he's caught up in it. So all these words and all these things that we have and understanding we have, what good is it? If I learn every language on the face of this earth, if I learn every wisdom at every doctor and lawyer and all this world, what good would it do me? They said, oh, he's a wise guy. No, I'd just be a vault of information. If I have no wisdom how to use it properly, what good is it? See, wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you have. A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't have the wisdom to use it properly. So it gets wasted. Impress people.
No, the spiritual way is to know the wisdom of God and put it into
action. Absolutely. Verse 12. Because who knows what is good for Adam in this life? That's what it says. Who knows what's good for Adam? Adam speaking of the natural man. Who knows what's good for this man? Not all the days of his vain life, but few are. The language literally says, few are the days of his vain life. Now what James said, this life is but a vapor. Just it's gone. Which he spends as a what? Tell me what that mark is behind it. I don't know where that came from. How'd a question mark get in there? There's nothing questioning about that. Is there? Is there a question there? For who knows what is good for Adam, comma, in this life, comma, few are the days of his vain life which he spends as a shadow. What is this life about then? What did he tell you there? This life is a what? Hello? Anybody hear me?
Shadow.
It's a shadow. It's a shadow. A shadow is not a reality, is it? I know Drina's sitting back around the corner feeding the baby, but Drina got a hold of something one time when years ago, and I've used it many times in teaching, that we went to Florida. When we came back from Florida on vacation, she said, I got a hold of it. This life is just a big stage, and everything on it is props in this life. It's not real. I said, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what he's saying here, isn't it? Yeah, see, it's all vanity. It's not a reality. It's a shadow. It's not the reality of life, is it? Life is not in this flesh. It's in this spirit that's within this flesh.
The reality is thinking what caused the shadow.
Yeah. What caused the shadow? Like I showed you the shadow of the hand a while ago. Yeah. That's not the reality. Here's the reality down here, isn't it? Okay. We have to see what made this shadow. And do you know what you have to have a shadow? Two things. You have to have light, and you have to have an object. Okay. We're the object is us, and he's casting the light, which is making the shadow. And we're watching the shadow instead of looking to the reality. Okay. We've got to get our thinking turned around if we're going to ever get ourselves straight in this life. Because who can tell what? Adam. What shall what? Be after him under the sun? Or literally, what is his future under the sun? Who can tell Adam what his future is? The dust shall return to the dust. Come on. What's Adam's future under the sun? Back to the dust from where you come. But the spirit returns to God. Adam's the natural man, the dust man. His destiny is the dust. Do you understand that? My flesh has got a place to go. It's got a purpose and a place to go, a destiny. And that's right back where it came from, the dust in the ground. But what's inside of me and what's inside of you also has a purpose and a destiny. And it's returned to your Father. That ought to make everybody happy. And I know people can read this all day long and never see it, but it's as simple as it can be. The dust returns to the dust from where it came, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. And I can't find any place else in between that it says you're going to go and stay for a while. I can't find it. Is it in there? It's in Ecclesiastes 3:21, 12:7, and also in 6:6. See? They all go to one place. Is that right? If all go to one place, are we all going to hell or are we going back with our Father? Come on, we have to get past all this stuff we've been told. It's not real. Someone made it up. Someone has lied to us. And we believe it sometimes. The problem is not being misled. The problem is making an idol out of what someone told us. And there was a man one time came in my life. I've said it before, I'll say it again. He asked me a question and turned my life around. He let me preach to him for 45 minutes about all this religious garbage that I was speaking at the time. And he asked me a simple question. Now, if I'm standing on the foundation of Christ, what could knock me off of it? Nothing. And this man asked me a simple question. Do you really believe that? And just smiled at me. And he couldn't have took a sledgehammer and hit me between the eyes and knocked me any more unconscious. And I just walked away and never even answered him. Couldn't answer him. I kind of believe maybe he was an angel because I'd never seen him before and never seen him since. I think God might have sent me a messenger to talk to me. Could have been. Could have been. And all I know is this man spoke to me and I've never seen him before or since right here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Same one. It's the same Christ. It's the same Spirit of God. But this man changed my life by making me look at what I was saying. And if I can, and I know that God taught me through that. And if I can get you, if I can encourage you or stir you up to check everything that you think you believe. Now, many times we think we believe something until light's put on it, don't we? How many of us have had things in our life that we thought we believed until God shined a light on it and it wasn't there no more? Many things. All I'm wanting you to do is look at everything you've been told. Everything I tell you. Look at it. Don't take my word for it. Look at it yourself and let God show you the truth. Now, how much better could it be than that if you get shown the truth? Could there anything be better than that? Because once you see it, nobody can take it away from you. That's it. I can only do what God shows me. I can show what He shows me. But you have to see it yourself. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, can you? I just want you to be stirred up to the point where you can look at everything. Don't be afraid to look at anything. I had this woman call me a few weeks ago, and she says, "Oh, Dave," said, "I'm afraid you're going to get mixed up with New Age." And I said, "Well, why is that?" She said, "I heard on one of your tapes you said you had dinner with someone that was New Age." I says, "Is it contagious? Is New Age contagious? Is it some kind of disease that you set at the table and it jumps over on you and you're a New Ager? I mean, come on. Jesus talked to all these people, didn't he? He never shunned anybody because of what they believed or false beliefs. And then I asked her, I said, "Well, what's the difference between a New Ager and a Baptist?" Because the Baptists ain't got the truth either. They got pieces just like New Age. New Age has got some pieces too. What's the difference between a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Methodist or a Catholic or anything? What's the difference? Why should I be afraid to sit down with anybody who is one of my brothers and sisters? Just because they think differently than I do. And it was just because I said I'd had dinner with someone who was a New Ager. You know, like, oh, be scared of them. Come on. See, you're thinking. And she thinks she's elevated into the spirit realm. Well, if I'm in the spirit, what can touch me?
Nothing.
Nothing by any means shall hurt you. You'll tread on those serpents and scorpions. So, guess what? We've got to come to the place where we look for ourselves. To be kings and priests, we must do what? Search the Scriptures. Proverbs 25:2, it's the glory of God to conceal the matter, but the honor of kings is to search it out. The Word. See? We got to do it ourselves. We can't just keep letting someone pour stuff into us and us just regurgitating or repeating what someone else says. We're just parrots. It's got to become a reality in our lives. It can no longer keep playing this game of just whatever the preacher said. That don't cut it. Nobody wants to go in on somebody's shirt tail, I guarantee you, or coat tail. They want you to do that. I want you to walk it out yourself. Because I found something out. When God separated me from the religious system, you know what happened? I had to learn to feed myself because there was nobody else to do it. Either I'm going to lay down and die, or I'm going to find something to eat. Does that make sense? You go out in the wilderness and there's no one there to cook a meal for you, what are you going to do? I'm going to find some kind of root or shrub or bug or something that'll get nourish me to keep me alive until I can get where I'm going. And it's the same with us. I know if I can instill in you the desire to feed yourself, I know something else. When you get enough to eat, you'll find somebody to share it with. I know what's going to happen because you can't keep this to yourself. Once you find the truth in God and the liberty and the freedom in God, you can't keep it to yourself. I've said it 100 times or 1,000 times maybe to God, why did you show me this? You know I can't keep my mouth shut. As soon as you show it to me, I'm going to go out and blab it to somebody else, and then I'm going to get fire for it. I know. I know. It's what I want. See? If we have this truth and never share it, we'll never be persecuted. Right? We'll never be persecuted. I'll have my napkin, have my talent all wrapped up and hidden in my earth. Nobody will persecute me. But if I go out and tell, then I'm going to be persecuted, and that's an opportunity for me to show the nature of God in me. Every time something comes against me, it's giving me an opportunity. It's not poor me. No, it's my opportunity to shine, to let the sun shine out of me. Can you see it? That's our opportunity. And it's the way we look through our eyes. Is it somebody hurting me, beating me up, or are they giving me an opportunity? I take it as an opportunity. Bless God. Thank you, Father, for letting me eat my bread in separation. Pain, sorrow, suffering, and misery. Thank you. Because you know what? I know I'm a son of God. I fit the pattern. I can walk it out. And you can too. That's right. I'll get fed. I'm not worried about it. I'll be done.